Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's go.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Bingetown TV and Buzztown TV. We are back with another Yellow Jackets episode. Thank God we were all mad that we had a week off. But me and Jimmy, who's not on this pod right now, took the time to do a theories episode, just an hour full of all the theories we've been seeing online, things we've come up with. So go check that out if you haven't. But today we've got the A team. Sorry, Jimmy, not that you're not on the A team, but we've got Luke, Brian, and Dave. For episode 6, titled Qui, which is a French word that means who, that, or which. And I'm going to do our little summary. So we are back after a week off from our beloved Yellow Jackets, and things are really coming to a head. Usually I'd have a lot more details in the summary, but I think it can be summed up in this one run-on sentence, which is, in 1996, we find out the fate of Shauna's wilderness baby, finally. And in current day, as producer Dave has said, the Avengers have assembled and the girlies are finally back together again. Now, that has no details about the actual episode, but that's really what's yeeting us into the rest of the season for season 2. Another great episode, a banger, especially at the end, really had me screaming. So I'm going to toss it to the boys. What did you guys think?
I don't know if A team should be our name. Maybe varsity and JV, because we are talking Yellow Jackets here. So the varsity team is stepping up to play. We all know how the Yellow Jacket JV team lost quite a few games. But yeah, this was, Dave, I think you sent in the chat, this episode was a little bit of a letdown or a disappointment, but the end had us like on the edge of our seats. I wouldn't entirely agree from that. I don't want to say it was slow, because it was the Shauna in labor. There was a lot of crazy stuff happening. I was thoroughly entertained from start to finish. Maybe that's just because I love this show so much and there's never going to be a bad episode. But the ending stuff, that was some... I'm very excited to dissect that entire sequence with Shauna when she was unconscious. What's the relevant stuff that she saw? And then, yeah, how fantastic is it the Avengers have assembled? And I think I nailed that theory. That's where they had to be, all at the compound together. And I do not have my hoodie on, but I believe someone in the YouTube comments shouted me out. Hoodie boy got that one right. Me and him together on an island, man, just getting theories right all day long.
Yeah, so I think I texted in our group chat that it was a little bit of a letdown originally, but after my second watch through with Luke, felt much better about the episode overall. I guess I think I was just very excited for this episode, getting the week off, and the baby had been hyped up for, you know, over a season. So I was expecting a little less labor and more so spiritual shit, I guess, happening. But again, going back in the rewatch, still, I think honestly, going back and rewatching, I would put this into my top 5 of episodes all time for Yellow Jackets, I think. Like, I think Snacky would still be above it, maybe the two episodes from the finale in season 1. But definitely rewatching it, I have come to appreciate that this episode was, in fact, a banger. And I'm so excited to be back on the sticks. It feels like it's been so long since we've been recording together.
I went in with low expectations because of that text B-Tom's just mentioned, and banger. This was a great episode for me. I was willing to come onto the podcast and say, okay, I'll flag plant that I like this episode the best, if you guys were going to agree with Dave's take there. But it seems like we're all kind of in agreement that it was a really good episode. And one thing I like to point out is always the IMDb ratings of episodes when we're talking about them here. And for those that don't know, they're always changing. And because of how soon we record podcasts, sometimes they change from the time of the recording. So I think that was the case with the last episode, because the last episode, Two Truths and a Lie, was the highest rated of all time, but it fell a little bit and it's now tied for second. And a lot of the episodes Dave was just mentioning there are actually tied for second. So right now on IMDb, There's four episodes with an 8.1, and it's Two Truths and a Lie, the snacky episode, and then the episode 9 and 10 of season 1. This episode, 2.6, is actually the highest rated of the series. It was 8.5 yesterday. It's 8.4 today. So it'll probably settle around still the highest of the series, which is great news because it just feels like the whole season 2 is going to hit mainstream because of how up and up each of these episodes are. But I wouldn't say it was the best of all time. I still really enjoyed it. And I was ecstatic with how the cop timeline turned out. And I cannot wait to talk about Callie and Shauna and then fucking Jay, Matt. I hate that motherfucker.
Callie gets her funniness from Jeff. She has to, you know. I mean, Shauna's hilarious too, but she doesn't mean to be hilarious. She just is. But Dave, really quick, I think that maybe in your first watch, the original letdown may have been because she had the baby and the baby was fine. And it's kind of like not anticlimactic, but probably like, oh, okay, she has this baby, now what, you know? And I think after you know what actually happens, when you watch it your second time, like Brian says, you want to know what she's dreaming about, or like if she's like almost dying. Is it that another one of like Jackie almost Jackie did die, but we got to see like the right before, and with Lottie when she was at the mall, is that a type of limbo again, or was it just a dream? We don't know, but I think I know what you're where you're coming from, Dave. But I
just felt like a little slow. I guess like the whole pregnancy thing, kind of, it felt like it dragged on. But again, there was a lot of like intermediate things that we had to kind of get coverage on before getting to the wrap up of like the childbirth and everything.
Yeah. So,
and let's talk about that for a second, because it has been a while. It's been 2 weeks. But at the end of our last podcast episode, we went around and did a board prediction for what we thought the outcome of the birth was going to be. And B-Toms, yesterday in our Yellow Jackets group chat, Dave was calling you out for some things, calling you an asshole or whatever he was saying. This was all related to the board guesses, because we went back and listened to the end of the podcast after we watched the episode just to hear how we all predicted this was going to turn out. And me and Dave predicted that the baby was going to be dead on arrival.
DOA, baby.
Yeah. Kathleen said the crazy prediction that she was going to, the baby was going to live and become
a character.
Yeah, something, something. Either way.
Yeah.
Brian thought the baby was going to live as well. So me and Dave got that right. And then that's why he was shitting on you for shitting on him for his theory or something
We'll get into it more when we get to that scene. But yeah.
I believe it was suck my ass.
Yes, I wasn't going to correct him, but that is exactly what was said. And to be fair, I'm a little bit of a theory elitist, so that does sound like something I would do, is talking down on Dave's ridiculous theory. That was totally 100% right. Just gotta fake it until you make it on this podcast.
That's exactly true.
It wasn't 100% right, but we'll get there.
But before we jump in, I do want to talk about, so Yellow Jackets season 3 was day one in the writer's room and got halted, of course, because of the strike. So I think collectively as a podcast, we would like to say, fucking pay them now. We don't want delays. Pay them. They deserve it. The whole reason we're here doing podcasts is because they write phenomenal TV shows that we can talk about. Okay. So just pay them.
And if it's going to take the time, like, delay it. Do not just rush through and just start writing things to get the content out there. Delay it. Let's do this right.
Yes, please. Listen.
Yeah.
To
don't get bums off the street that will cross the picket line. We don't Friday want them. Lights. We want the good ones.
Yellow Jackets is a fucking gold mine. Don't fuck it up.
Yep.
Exactly. All right. So shall we 1996? All right. So just to preface this, even if this wasn't like a sci-fi show, whatever it was, just to be teenagers in the woods, dirty, disgusting, starving, trying to help your friend have her baby is just so devastating, and incredible acting by all, but especially young Shauna, of course. Like, she should get the Emmy nod for this, I think. And she will be, I believe, in the lead actress category. So I think that's what Melanie Lynskey was saying. So, you know, fingers crossed. I thought it was excellent. But let's start with the rare flashback of the kids in school, because we haven't gotten that since season one, really early, the pilot, of course. We haven't really gotten anything since. So I loved it. It kind of reminds you that they were all kids in school at once, because later when Jeff says like, oh, hi, Van, it's kind of nice that you're like, they sat next to each other in anatomy class or whatever it was, you know? So you know, open the floor. You know, Hefe the dog couldn't help but send Sean a little dirty note and just risk it all. That's my main point. But what do you guys have to say?
My only thing that I noticed here was, of course, Coach Ben Scott. I don't think he looked at the actual TV screen once. I'm pretty sure he was facing the students the whole time. So if you go back and rewatch, it kind of makes sense on why he chose to opt out of not helping with the baby birth when push came to shove. But also there was, like, granted, a lot of blood. So I'll give that to him as well. But yeah, you could tell, like, he just wasn't focused on the video at all. He was just there to teach. And so that kind of explains why he was so bad in that moment with Shauna's delivery.
I have two comments for this scene. One is, they're absolute cowards for not having Jackie in this scene. And then two is, like, I love these pre-Forest clips of the girls, like the young actors. It's amazing for me. But just the way that this whole scene played out turned into that perfect transition into Shauna screaming and, like, giving birth with the music. That was freaking amazing. Yes, it was so well done, and it just pumped me up. And I do like that they showed that Jeff did have legitimate interest in Shauna, like, more than I kind of had in my head as just, like, a random hookup. But yeah.
Agreed. I love when they show us, like, them actually in high school. It just, like, solidifies who they are as characters, even in the wilderness. Like, Ty and Van were fucking around with Randy, who was trying to say, only magnums for me, baby, Randy. No, that was fantastic. And then, yeah, the smash cut to just full on Shauna in labor, and Misty Quigley's the OBGYN on call. So, and I believe that leads us right into our opening title sequence. So that was, like, just a phenomenal cold opening.
Back-to-back bangers. Yeah, we get the song of woo, and then right into the intro song. It was, that shot was so perfect.
Yeah. And Misty's tripping out because, one, this is nuts. The blood, everything. But also, it's giving her PTSD from having just killed her friend. And I think, I mean, we talked about on the theories episode, the whole crystal could have been a hallucination of Misty or just, like, an imaginary friend. But Lottie looks at Misty right in her face and said, like, I know that Crystal's gone, but we can help Shauna right now. So I think, I mean, it's, they still could twist you up in it, you know, but yeah, Misty can't handle it. Ben Scott gets the call. And Dave, I know you're giving him some, like, oh, you know, blood. No, fuck that. He's the adult. Get in there.
I agree. Definitely still agreeing with you that in my second rewatch with Luke, I'm literally like, stop being such a bitch and get the fuck in there. Like, you're the adult here. Like, you are the health teacher. Get the fuck in there and do something.
This kind of leads into the conversation. It felt pretty isolated, so I'll bring it up now. Is, what was the deal with the Coach Ben flash to the other cabin, like, with his boys and Paul? And then there's a quick shot of him with the antlers too behind him there. I don't know if that's just symbolism.
Yeah, you didn't see that, B-Toms?
But
I don't know that there's anything substantial within the flashback. I think he's just freaking out and kind of being like, God, I wish I was anywhere but here. Like,
yeah.
It's just that, weird that every time they do this, Coach Scott specifically, they have that weird transition. Like, it's like almost like a old static, school TV, like, show. Yeah. And it's only for him. And this is, like, the third time they've done it. It's probably just like a motif for Coach Scott,
yeah.
But I don't really understand what's going on there, because I'm not learning anything about him.
I mean, the only thing, yeah, I agree, I don't know what the purpose is necessarily, but the only thing, obviously, like you had mentioned, that was interesting was the fact that when he was playing charades, there were the antlers behind him, which kind of goes into what we've been talking about as a running theory, that whatever the antler queen is, or whoever it is, it could bounce around from person to person. And that's how I kind of took it. Like, Coach Scott at some point might be the antler queen or whatever. And, you know, he might be the one wrote, you know, I'm not too sure, but that was the only thing that I gathered from that backstory, was that the antlers were behind Coach Scott.
Mm-hmm. I'm starting to think, if they're giving us more antler symbolism for, like, everybody in the cabin, it
Travis
might just be
too, I think, like, not in this episode particularly, but I think, you know, Lottie we've seen have the antlers, I think Travis has had a shot with the antlers, and now we see Coach Scott, so there is multiple people getting the antlers.
I'm starting to think that's just confirming what they're figuring out in the 2020s, which is the darkness is in all of us. It gotten us there and we brought it back with us, of course, but I'm starting to think that's what they might be doing with the antler queen stuff. But yeah, Luke, I don't really read into how they kind of transition into Coach Scott's stuff. I think they've been doing that for like the past four episodes. He's like in a rough spot. He can't deal with anything. And he's just kind of questioning his life decisions like, fuck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My only complaint of this scene was when Misty storms off and Akila is now up to bat for helping Misty or Shauna with the baby. She literally touches
fucking
mouse and then goes in hands deep into Shauna's vagina. I'm just like, what is going on here? Like,
yep.
They were just talking about boiling water, keeping everything safe. And then Akila's out here just like touching this mouse and getting it in there.
Germ
like,
theory, baby.
Yeah. Where are the germ theories at?
I did like when Nat, I had that written down, Dave. So thank you. I was like, what? No, the wilderness rat. Don't touch it. But women have been having babies for millions of years. It's fine. Akila's got this. And Akila's like, what the fuck? First of all, Nat is true. That's the mindset you have to have in this. They have been having babies for millions of years. And we've only had modern medicine for what, 100 or something like mm-hmm. that. So that is the mindset to go in. But her just, instead of her being like, I got this, she just hands it to Akila. Is so funny. Also, Nat, fuck, killing it.
Also, fuck Mari for... Let's Lottie says, let's all give our hopes of what we want to happen. And Mari immediately like, I hope Shauna doesn't die. And it's like, why are you saying like Mari taking L after L after L? Mm-hmm. Fuck.
That's all I always.
We needed to get our Mari hate on here somehow. So I thought this was the perfect time.
I mean, Speaking of the Lottie stuff, should we talk about the ritual going on the sidelines this whole time? Travis brings the whatever skull out. Offer some blood, a lock of Lottie's hair. I think Van gives a button. Just more crazy blood magic. Do we think that has anything to do with the outcome of the birth?
So I do want to talk about that specifically. But first, Nat in season one, adult Nat, when Travis had killed himself and all the candles were everywhere. And she said, Travis never believed in any of this stuff. It's like you watched him do blood on this, like, on these bones in front of the fire while the baby was happening. He's like crying. He's one of the first ones in. So I had the same thought, Brian. I'm not sure if it has anything to do with it, but it doesn't not have anything to do with it. You know, you'll never know whether or not, like, maybe them doing the ritual helped Shauna live, even though the baby didn't. So maybe it was a good thing. Maybe it was a terrible thing. Or maybe it had nothing to do with anything at all.
I don't know why I was expecting any other answer, because that's 90% of this show at this point. It's like, maybe it did. Maybe it didn't.
I'm with you, Kathleen, though. I actually thought that the ritual had now worked in favor of Shauna because... I mean, I'm not an expert of childbirth. I don't know what it's like. I've never really seen it besides the Miracle of Life video in health class years ago. But Shauna looked to be in some rough fucking shape. Like, I don't know if that's how most women look during labor, but she actually, we didn't know that Shauna was alive in the present, I would have honestly assumed that this might have been it for her. So I'm thinking maybe the ritual did like help Shauna rather than the baby. Maybe the wilderness wanted to keep Shauna alive because, you know, it's the darkness isn't all of them kind of thing. But it was weird. Luke even thought when he was watching, he thought once they started doing the ritual, the baby was 100% going to live because of the ritual. And I don't know what you guys were thinking in that moment, but honestly, now that I think back on it, I actually thought the baby was probably going to live because, like, I was thinking that the baby was going to survive because of what they were doing. So it was kind of a shock to me at the end to find out that it just hadn't at all.
So I'm so happy you brought up the Travis thing, Kathleen, because I wrote that down as well, like the believing stuff. But yeah, in terms of like the baby, what I'm stuck on is that Lottie earlier this season was saying that the baby's going to change everything. And I'm still in the mindset where she hasn't been wrong yet, Lottie. So there has to be some sort of cause and effect of this baby being born. And I still feel like the ritual is going to be a key piece of that. It's going to be pivotal to decide whatever the wilderness wants or something's going to come of this. Like they could even still use the baby as part of like a ritual, because we know that blood's kind of involved with a lot of these things.
Just thinking that, like, if they've already used like a bear heart as a sacrifice, like,
why not a baby?
Why not? Yeah, like a fetus that, you know, I think that would definitely have some kind of plot into whatever Lottie wants to do for sure.
Because this is, to me, a big, I'm not predicting that this is going to be a miss of a plot point, but like it will be if nothing more comes of the baby and it's just done. Like that would not have been satisfying enough for me.
I think the baby's life was offered through the ritual to the forest spirit, the wilderness. What did we decide we're calling it? The darkness? No, we said that's too dark.
The wilderness seems to be something they said multiple times this episode, which kind of
just called the forest. Either, now that we got that confirmation.
Either way,
I
feel like for the next episode or two, shit's going to start going right for them. They're going to get more meat and stuff. And it's like, oh, right after this baby came out dead and you guys were doing some crazy blood magic, all this great stuff is happening. That's and also Lottie's been saying like it wants blood, like it demands blood, shit like that. Baby's going to change everything. Also, like with her unconscious dreams and stuff, Lottie's looking up and it's like, you'll understand soon. I feel like when we see Lottie in kind of dream sequences like that, like remember Travis's weird stuff when he was having sex with Nat/Lottie? I feel like when we see Lottie like that, that is supposed to represent forest spirit, like contacting, speaking through Lottie, because that's just an image that they could comprehend and be comfortable with.
No, I like that a lot. That's a good prediction of what's going to happen.
Feeding felt like one of the big themes of the whole hypothetical situation of when Shauna was alive with, or when the baby was hypothetically alive in Shauna's imagination. Like it was emphasized, not even just for the baby, but Shauna, it was just like food, eating, things like that. So
yeah,
I think you're right. I really like that theory, B-Times. Like I think the sacrifice, your baby died because the sacrifice probably went as it was supposed to, and now they're going to just get good shit start happening to them.
Just want to add to your point here, B-Times, that or I guess highlight you a little bit more here, putting you on the board, because there was no trailer for this episode, for the next episode, at least for what we watched. Yeah. So I have no idea. Like Kathleen, did you see a trailer for the next episode?
Nope.
I don't know if that was purposeful or not, but either way, that means if you nail that, B-Times, that's straight off the dome.
I don't think I've ever seen a trailer though, because I stream it. So I think I'd have to seek out a trailer.
It usually plays after we watch our episodes on Paramount Plus, really? But I don't know.
It didn't go into it. Usually it just goes right into the next episode, but it didn't this time.
Anyway, I watch on Showtime anytime.
No idea what's going to happen next episode yet. So
cool. Okay. Well, just to touch on what Dave said about like, you don't really know what it's like when a woman gives birth, like what her state is. So I have something to say. So the placenta comes first, which immediately I thought that was the baby because I'm stupid and I don't know anything. And it was just like a big glob. And I was like, what the fuck? Yeah. And I was scared. But anyway, so I'm no doctor, but I'm pretty sure the placenta is supposed to come after the baby. So that probably is a telltale sign. I was trying to Google whether or not the placenta can come first if that's healthy, but I wasn't really getting anything back. I think it was misunderstanding my Google. But like Lottie's pep talks Misty, they all start doing the we hear the wilderness and it hears us type deal, and then Shauna passes out. So then from here on is all fake until we find out it's not. So it's either the dream or whatever. So Dave, what I liked about this is when Shauna is like devastated and trying to breastfeed this baby, and Nat's like, you are starving. Like, how could your body produce milk? So this isn't just me being 9 months pregnant. I'm like a normal girl who lives in the city and I eat every day and everything. And then I go out camping and try to have a baby. It's like this person hasn't eaten anything besides her best friend in weeks and months and shit. So like, there's just no way that like to think that this baby was ever going to be healthy is kind of a crazy thing. Right. Now that I'm thinking about it, because you forget, you're just like, yeah, let's have this baby. It's TV. But I really think it was a long shot that this baby was ever going to survive. And I wonder, they should have done some like in previous episodes, like the baby moving. Or I think at one point she says like maybe the baby was kicking, but we didn't get any like sign of life in the last few weeks. You would have to assume that Shauna was feeling the baby move up until the end, or else they would have concerns earlier. So just in general, like having a baby in the wilderness when you haven't eaten for months, like Shauna looks like that because one, she's probably on the brink of death from starvation anyway, and she's eating for two. So that's just my little rant.
It's almost like not even worth talking about a lot of the things that happened because it's all a vision. Like we can kind of cut to the end of it. But as I also, just before I forget it, I don't know if we said when they were doing this chant, which causes her to pass out and then go into this vision, Thaisa was the last one to start talking and actually saying it, which was very surprising. I didn't know she was going to participate or not. I think Nat is the only one that didn't, right?
Yeah, Nat was the only one that
like part saying the ritual. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Ty would have done anything to save Shauna at that point.
I don't think Misty was saying it or Akilah.
I think Akilah was.
Akilah might have. Yeah, she might have joined at that point.
I don't remember Misty's shot, but one thing I'll really bring up is I just think it's so like when Misty gets herself together and goes back to Shauna and she's like eyes wide open, like everything's going to be.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
That was fucking crazy. Yeah. Oh, my God.
I think young Misty, if we're talking about the kids that deserve some recognition come award season, I think young Misty is in that boat. She's been fantastic.
Yeah. We're born a day apart in real life.
What?
Wow. Is she the 20th or the 18th?
She's the 20th.
Wow. Yay. How
about that, huh?
She's like 10 years younger than me. I did not know she was 27.
What does that make you? What sign are you and her?
Virgo.
Okay.
Okay. Mitzi's a Virgo.
All right. So basically the premise of this whole thing is the baby won't latch. She's trying to connect to the baby. We'll talk about two scenes. One specific one is the Lottie one. I think that's probably the most important story-wise, which is Lottie ends up breastfeeding this baby. First of all, this baby, the biggest telltale sign that this was fake is that was the biggest baby I've ever seen. This baby would have been like a malnourished, like, I don't want to see that. But also this baby was the cutest, biggest baby ever. That baby was well fed.
Giant baby.
Alki said the same thing. He, like, when they were getting close up of the baby, Alki was like, that thing is fucking huge. And I was like, I didn't even think of that. But yeah, you're right. That was like, a thing was probably at least 10 pounds at least.
Yeah. So I thought Lottie was breastfeeding this baby. Thoughts?
I mean, besides the fact that it didn't actually happen, yes.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
She was definitely breastfeeding in that moment. And it goes into, you know, her whispering into Shauna's belly, the whole, you know, the baby's going to change how we, you know, the next few months, whatever. But it was wild. Lottie, thankfully, it wasn't real, I guess. Because that would have been so weird.
So, like, she has a slip of tongue, too, when she's like, he's hungry and, or Lottie says, he's hungry and you aren't producing milk. She says, like, we need to feed. And Shauna's like, what? And he's like, he needs to feed.
Yeah. Oh,
and she's like, what? And then she says, you'll understand soon enough. What do we think the significance of this whole vision is? And I do want to point out that right when this whole vision sequence starts, it's another one of those, like, she's just waking up from childbirth and all of them are very close, like beaming from ear to ear, which we saw when Jackie passed away and someone else. I feel like
Lottie went into into her elevator scene. Yeah.
Like everyone was there and everybody was just like beaming from ear to ear. I think that's going to be going forward a telltale sign that we are in an NDE experience. And I feel like that's exactly what this was. I feel like whatever Lottie was saying in this dream sequence, going back to my theory earlier, I think was probably the wilderness spirit talking to Shauna. And I'm almost thinking she was trying to show Shauna, look, if you were able to have this baby, you wouldn't be able to feed it. You are starving. Like, that was the entire point of this vision. So maybe just like cushioning the blow a little bit that this baby is dead, trying to show her this baby would not have survived even if it was healthy right after giving birth, you know?
And let's be completely honest, like, it is an absolute win for the Yellow Jackets that this baby did not survive.
Million percent.
Food. The crying, this baby's crying was whack. Like, the way that the producers decided to make the sound of the baby crying.
Totally agree.
It was like out of this world. Like, I had never heard a baby like that. But this is a just all around win. Let's be honest. As long as Shauna doesn't have any like permanent damage, which we know because she survives, she doesn't. So this was
well. I think it directly impacts how she's acting in this very moment in Garden Day.
Sure, but
like her breaking down at the police station is like, I have a whole spiel on like Shauna's trauma and how the way she acts now, like we couldn't ever have understood why she acts the way she does until we see this scene. And to counter Luke, you saying, you know, she couldn't have taken care, it's probably for the best. I think it actually does the opposite, because Shauna has this visceral memory of actually loving and knowing her baby now, and like looking it in the face, latching, the speech she gives in the next scene, just being like, I'm sorry, I didn't think I wanted you. Like, I love you. We're going to do this together. You have to latch. Like, beautiful, gorgeous scene. Obviously, it didn't happen. But to her, when she's sobbing at the end, being like, how can you not hear him crying? I can still hear him. Why do you not hear him? Like, she's having a literal meltdown. So it was never going to be easy, but it's fucking brutal. This was like an A plus. It was funny. I think Alex was like, someone was saying, like, she's giving the performance of her lifetime and the rest of them are just like around the had an easy day.
Yeah.
I liked everything you just said there, B-Toms, except for maybe like, maybe you just used not a word that I would have used, but like the cushioning, like to help make Shauna feel better about like the baby actually dying, or, you know, soften the blow or whatever.
Yeah.
Then why would the spore spirit have Shauna listen and be able to hear the cries of the baby? Like, it felt like the moment Shauna unwrapped and saw the face of the baby, that's when she could start hearing the cries.
So I have a theory about that. I think she might very well be hearing that baby cry. The baby may have ended up in whatever the limbo other side that Jackie and Laura Lee are at. And maybe the baby and Shauna have a weird connection, because I feel really good that that was an NDE, because they were like, yeah, we thought we lost you. Like that. I think that was an NDE, and maybe, and also Mari can hear like the dripping. That seems like it's under the same umbrella. People are just like hearing shit that they can't see.
Do we think Lottie in Shauna's hallucination was like a representation of the forest god, forest spirit?
That's kind of what I think, if it goes along with my working theory.
I think that ties in better with your working theory. Yeah, that if what we saw in that vision was not Lottie and just the forest spirit itself.
Seems like we're working with a soft magic system here, so it's like not going to have all the edges ironed out yet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry. And then the last thing here that I wanted, the reason I told B-Toms to suck my ass is because last episode I had theorized that they were going to eat the baby, and B-Toms proceeded to shit on that. Like, oh, I draw the line at baby eating, but they showed the scene, and that's why I wanted B-Toms to suck my ass, because they actually went out and showed baby eating.
Yeah, and then the exact next scene, they confirmed that it didn't happen.
They showed it.
Doesn't count. Oh my gosh.
But I think Brian also still draws the line there. I don't think he takes that back at all. I think he does still draw.
Tom thought it was so ridiculous, but it actually was shown on screen that they were baby eating for a little.
The only lines I'm drawn are going to be in the shape of a triangle with two diagonal lines going through it and a little fucking circle at the top.
It was a very well-asked question before, in between season one and two. Like, the showrunners and the actors had answered it multiple times. We knew going into this season that they were not going to eat the baby. I don't know, Kathleen, you've seen that before, right? Yeah, so that was just a thing that I always had in the back of my head, just because they have confirmed it so many times. They didn't want people to have expectations that we could go that route.
They still showed it, though. I was going to ask, are they going to eat the baby now? But
that's
two
what
things
I said after the episode two is like, now they eat the baby, you know?
So I think that the baby looks probably a lot different than the baby Shauna had in her vision, right? For me, in my head, I was thinking this baby may have been like underdeveloped or something like that. Like, maybe something happening with this baby, because she looks and sees the baby and immediately is like, whatever. But this baby was probably like maybe even purple or blue. Like, if it didn't breathe, if it couldn't breathe and whatever. Yeah, so
more crux.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. But yeah. So when Ben Scott was eating the baby, I was like, I was bought in fully. I wasn't thinking it was fake at all. When I saw Ben and Nat turns around with this like sorrow look in her eyes, like, I'm so sorry, but I'm doing this anyway. God, it's so sick.
I was flabbergasted for a hot second. Not going to lie. I'm like, okay.
Dave, back me up. You know, I wasn't flabbergasted. I knew right away that it was fake.
Yeah, Luke didn't know that it was fake. And I was pissed about it, but do we think there was any relevance of them actually showing Ben Scott eating the baby? Like, does that symbolize him potentially maybe not being eaten, but, you know, being an eater? Like, he was the one judging everyone for eating, but do we think of in the future it's more likely that he is going to eat also now?
There was maybe a wow factor.
Yeah.
A wow factor.
Yeah.
I think it was a wow factor.
Well, listen, morale is low at the cabin after this.
Boy, yeah.
The cries after Young Ty was doing crazy good acting too, even with, she didn't have many lines, but she had some good jabs at like Mari and stuff, but also just lots of crying and, you know, protecting her girl. So all good acting all around. Morale is low, but a good 1996 episode to be sure.
Agreed.
One thing where I keep doing this, one more thing I want to bring up is, do we think what they were saying before the vision, we hear the forest and it hears us, is tied to what Shauna was saying at the end of the vision, why can't you hear it? I just want to put that on the board because they are somewhat related. So I just want to see if, you know, keep it on the board for potentially if something does connect the two in the future, that, you know, she was saying, why can't you hear it? While they at the beginning were saying, we hear it, basically. So just want to.
And since we're leaving the 1996 storyline, I just want to say, like, appreciate all the comments on the theories on the theory video on YouTube. A lot of things were related to the crystal theory that seemed to get the most people. And B-Times, I don't know if you got a chance to listen to that, but the whole idea was just Misty. There was like this working theory that Crystal was in her head. It was a very friend. But even this episode specifically, I think it gets confirmed that she kind of was real when Lottie, like Lottie has conversation with her, Mari does with the jobs, like you two pick cards. I don't know. I think there's not
Lottie
enough there.
Specifically,
but
says like Crystal's no longer here with us.
Right.
Here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So just wanted to point that out there because a lot of people were talking about that on the YouTube.
Would've been cool.
Yeah. Would have been a really fun theory to explore. But
man, they let Crystal go so fast. They were like, can't deal with it. Yep. Have something else.
Yep.
Okay. 2021. Presumably. I was saying I was going to move on to 1997 in the past, but I still keep saying 1996. But 2021, current day, we're going to start in Lottie Town, okay? At the cult, we're in New York City. Not really, but New York. Okay. So Misty shows up, you know, after her last episode, ditching Walter, shows up. She has to release all of her things. She's reunited with Lottie. And Lottie, I think the main thing in this is she has this little brain thing where she kind of like loses, like she's like, ooh, like she gets lightheaded or something. And she goes to Misty. She's like, you have to stay. You have to stay, you know, like stay for a day or whatever, whatever. And at this point, Misty's just here to get Nat back and be like, what's going on here? But of course, Misty gets roped in by all the people liking her and wanting to fucking talk to her. But really quickly, Lottie's goes back to the therapist, right? And she's trying to explain that she doesn't think she's ever been ill and that they've been like sending people to her to show her that it was all real and it wasn't a sickness. So before we dive into that, so many people in this episode kept being like, wait, Lottie, no, you mean she's like, and they don't finish their sentence, but they mean like, I thought she was in a loony bin somewhere in a different country. Like they can't even believe that Lottie's coherent, which is crazy. So obviously they have not heard from Lottie in 25 years. Like this has just been a full nothing. Like Misty couldn't find her, nothing. So I think that was all interesting. But so any of that opening till like the therapist, what do you got?
Just thought it was funny that Misty's carrying around brass knuckles.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah. But overall, I mean, the big scene for me was the therapist scene. I mean, we get confirmation that, you know, there's a god. They called it a god. So it wasn't a ghost. It wasn't anything along those lines. It was a god of that place. I just think that's interesting. I mean, we've been calling it the forest spirit for so long now. It's good to get that confirmation that, you know, that all this stuff hasn't been red herrings. You know, we've always believed it not to be, but it's good to get that confirmation. And now we, I guess, can start referring to this thing as the forest god going forward whenever they're in 1996. I don't know. I feel like there's obviously got to be a lot more from that particular scene with the therapist because, you know, I don't know if you guys watched with closed captioning or subtitles, but it was capitalized. So just a lot of good stuff from that therapy session. I just like that we get the confirmation that they aren't crazy. Everything was real. And I think if Lottie believes that, Lottie's law, I'm believing it too.
So the more the season two goes on, the happier I am with current day Lottie because she's getting painted less and less as like the main villain, which I originally thought she was going to be the main villain. And I'm very, very happy we're not taking that route. She keeps getting victimized and like in the eyes of the wilderness, she is almost like the main character. So it's like so weird that everything's like spiraling around her and kind of converging everybody to the cult's compound. This has been surprisingly one of my favorite parts of the season. Like, since we got to this point. Obviously, you throw Nat, Misty, and Lottie into the same like storyline, it's going to be really fun. And that fucking tension, man, was so hot between Lottie and Misty, right? When they faced off in the beginning, I was living for it. Like, so great to see these girls come together. And we'll get to the Avengers Assemble moment, but it just keeps building. And like, they all come to this spot. Like, this is going to be such an interesting part of the show for the next three episodes. Three? Do we have three left?
79.
It feels like in Game of Thrones when the Starks are all finally reuniting and you're like, yeah, one by one, let's go.
So I like that you brought up, Kathleen, that Lottie had pretty much like a very quick change of emotion when she offered to have Misty stay at the resort. Do we think, because Misty shows up and Lottie is like completely blown away, like, what the fuck is Misty doing here? Yada, yada, yada. She does seem to have like, I guess, a mini vision is how I took it. Like, maybe she's
yeah.
future, and she was like, oh, you know what, like, this would be helpful to determine what's going on with the forest god. Misty, stay a while. But I was just curious, do you guys think that maybe it was the forest god wanting her, kind of how like Thaisa has a dual personality? Do we think maybe for whatever reason the forest god kind of took over Lottie for a second, was like, oh yeah, Misty's here, like, this is what we want, Misty, stay a while? Or do we think that was just Lottie being genuine?
She played it off like she was attributing it to being helpful for Nat and Nat's experience. And that's kind of realistic, but the way she had that like click moment in her head seems to see there's a second layer of things going on.
Yeah, she was pissed and then like weirdly into it, you know, like happy.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. Yeah. That's a good question, though.
The next Misty scene fucking cracked me up. I had to rewind it because Misty fake bongoing was a 10 out of 10. She's just like this. Not even close to the bongo. Talking to the same guy who took her stuff. But she hates the cry session, but she wins the crowd over by telling them, like, oh, I know Nat. And they all like light up. And knowing that, and Lottie, she says later, makes her feel like a celebrity. But I wanted to ask you guys, because as Nat's walking up, and we'll get to Nat, but as Nat's walking up to Misty in the cafeteria, Misty is telling a story, and the line is this: she was the most incredible athlete and dresser. She was just always such a talent.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
But you don't know who she's talking about. And it made me feel like Jackie. But because who was like the most amazing dresser? Maybe Lottie?
Yeah, I was thinking Lottie.
Not Nat.
Just Lottie more than Nat.
She's so blinded by her love for Nat that it could like satirically be about that, like, even though she's monotone dressing all the time, like, it would be on par for her character.
Let me hype up my best friend.
Yeah, you know. Exactly. Like, she's the most beautiful girl in the world, you know, like, she always says things like that. So it's just like, and how on par for Misty characters for her to become like a cult stud in like 5 minutes. Like,
oh yeah,
absolutely, just perfection.
She is just such a great actor here, especially when it's just like the awkward silence of like Nat just staring at her and Misty just again like big eyes, just like, what's up? It's just so good. Like, I can't get enough of Misty.
I know,
she's so amazing, young and older. It's so incredible.
Well, Nat's storyline culminates in this line that Nat says to her. Misty's doing all those faces, Nat saying, what happened to Walter, etc., and she's like, oh, I sent him home, and she's giving her the weird eyes, and Nat's like, fuck, we're all like this, aren't we? Like, we are so fucked up.
That's so great,
because that's really Nat's storyline in this episode. It's really quick, but it's just she's spiraling post vision, and it's her and Lisa the whole episode, really. And she tells Lisa, you know, that she ruins people and she's poisoning, to stay away from her. And Lisa keeps trying to pep talk her and say whatever Travis had in him to make him kill himself, like, that was art, that was in him, like, it didn't have anything to do with you, there's nothing you could have said. And she was like, well, it's in me too. And her and Lottie in this episode both say, we did so much fucked up shit out there. And Nat specifically says, maybe it was to survive, but I don't think we deserve to, which is deep.
Yeah,
that hurts. But then the fish scene. Let's talk about the fish scene, too. Open it up for anything, Nat.
I would have been furious if she killed that fish. I'm glad she had a change of heart and let it live. I don't know what to make of it. Yeah, I think it's just her just dealing post vision. I do really like how Lisa's there for her, just as like a sounding board. That's been a good asset to her. I don't know. I don't think it's that deep. It's just like she's in a very vulnerable state right now.
I just think it's interesting that we're watching her grow as a character, but at the same time, she still seems like very against believing that what happened in the wilderness, you know, actually happened. Like, she still denies what Travis said about her being right is still wrong. To her, she's like, Travis, you know, maybe he believed it or not. But, you know, it seems like to me that Natalie still doesn't. I think the final, basically what I'm getting at is the final stage of her growth is going to be accepting the fact that the wilderness spirit is real and that everything is happening because of this forest god.
I think she's getting there.
Right.
Yeah, I think she believes that it's in all of them.
And
whatever it is.
Comment about that once we get through Thaisa and Van's storyline, because I mean, we're kind of ready to move on to the next book, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we can talk about a bunch of these things here, but the one thing I'm just going to point out that's related to what we're talking about now is in the car ride to the compound, Van talking about Lottie basically calls her like a crazy schizo, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And the implications of that actually like aren't my favorite, because what that implies is that Van being a follower of the forest in 1996 and like leaning into all these rituals and stuff, something, I guess I should say, nothing happens that's crazy explicit supernatural to the group to convince them all that supernatural exists. Because if Van's out here saying that Lottie's crazy, that means we might not get anything like that wild supernatural. You know what I mean? Am I making any sense there?
There's still a lot of time we got to see in the wilderness, and it seems like Van is a Lottie follower. That seems like her retroactively trying to distance herself from the nonsense. Like,
okay,
I think there's going to be some crazy Lottie-led supernatural shit, and everybody's lasting impression of her is they send her to Switzerland or wherever for mental health reasons or something. I think she's like, oh, kooky Lottie? Yeah, I'm not into that stuff anymore.
Okay, so exactly. More of like a revisionary thing where the people that survived the supernatural start saying like, couldn't have been really supernatural. Lottie was crazy. I prefer that route than like nothing crazy explicit happens, because then it gets a little bit like...
This is right on the money. And what also kind of would back it up a little bit to me is when, I know we're jumping ahead just a little bit here, but when they are Avengers Assemble moment and Van makes eye contact with Lottie at the lake.
Like, yeah.
Something rekindled in her that was like, because she had been so distanced from everybody for however many years it's been, it seems like it's, you know, at least been 10 years or whatever. She kind of fell off the plane of like, you know, okay, all that was fake, yada, yada, yada. Comes back, sees Lottie and is like, shit, like just like all those memories flooding back. And then her being like, shit, it was real. So I think I agree with Brian in the fact that Lottie got sent off because she was being crazy, or what everyone thought was crazy. And then, you know, Van was like, oh shit, maybe she was. I was crazy. Let me just distance myself. So
I just don't want to cap supernatural in 1996.
I was with you, but that B Tom's laid it out perfectly. I was a little worried where they were going with that, because then that would have also meant that Van and Lottie might have had a falling out in 1996.
Mm-hmm. That could still be true. That doesn't mean that it negates the sci-fi of it all either. Whether they fall out in 1996 or current, whatever year it is back in the day in the wilderness or after. I mean, there's something to say where like everyone's saying they all do that. All they did was fucked up shit. And they're saying the wilderness can hear us, can whatever, like all the chants, all the rituals, all the cutting of the hands. And then when they get out, Lottie doesn't speak again. They never hear Lottie speak again, which is literally what happens. Van's probably like, why'd I hitch my wagon to this girl? Like, we did a lot of fucked up shit, and she was the leader, and wow, what the fuck? So I think that's just a lot of it. I think the sci-fi, there is no ceiling on the sci-fi yet, but all the sci-fi things that we've seen so far, the spooky wind and all that stuff, they don't know that that's what happened. We saw it firsthand because we followed the wind with the camera, but they don't know that. So just because like sci-fi things can be happening all around them, that doesn't mean that they necessarily see them happen. Like, even Jackie dying and that big storm coming out of nowhere, was that sci-fi? Did the wilderness bring that storm out of nowhere and kill her? It's like they wouldn't call that sci-fi, but maybe it is. Like, who knows?
Okay, no, I'm you guys convinced me.
Yeah.
Cool. But I will say, I think adult Van is just like, I'm hanging off her every word. I'm obsessed with her. She's so cool. Like, what a force to come in the back half of season 2. of a big gigantic show. Like, she's absolutely crushing it. Just so similar to Young Van. It's fucking awesome. And I love her. I think she's funny. Her and Ty's have such good chemistry. I'm like, Simone who?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, yeah.
But
sorry, Simone.
We haven't even gotten an update on her in a while.
Yeah, I mean, she gets that call from Misty and says this might be the hospital. So she's at least thinking of it. But I have a big theory here that I've been seeing online. So Van and Ty, they go over the lady in the tree visit to Van last episode, where, of course, she tells her about the kiss. Van's like, there's no we, get out of here, you're married, whatever. Like, the chemistry. Yeah, yeah, we're not supposed to be here. That's the thing. Like, she's Ty's like, we? Me and you? Which is so funny. But here's where the theory comes in. So Ty boldly asks about the bills in the trash. And Van's like, I have savings, don't worry about it. And the bills in the trash say family medical group, okay? It's not like, oh, your mortgage is whatever, fucked, you know? It's family medical group. So, of course, it could be her mom, right? It could be from her mom. The bills say Vanessa Palmer, but of course, you know, maybe she dies and she got stuck with the medical bills. But people were saying, could those bills be for herself? Like, why would Van have this, like, no long-term plan? Ty calls it out. What if there is no long run for Van? She's just living out whatever she can. She's happy. The pills she's taking are actually for her because she's sick. You know,
Van's terminal, you're saying.
Like, people are saying Van is terminal and there is no future for Van. So that's why she doesn't give a fuck about having a failing business that isn't making any money and stuff. So we think, oh, she's a drug addict, but it's like, because she's taking Oxy, but maybe she's taking Oxy because she needs to take Oxy. You know?
Yeah.
So it's so sad. I don't want that to be a thing, but I think that is like one of the theories that really has legs so far.
I like it.
I can't think of anything to disprove that. And if anything, there's more validity behind that than, yeah, I like it.
I think the way that they could play it out in an interesting way could be to have like her dive back into the Lottie ritual stuff and it helps heal her. That would be an interesting plot point. But again, like, this is the first time hearing it. So I'm just kind of.
That's some Midnight Club stuff, Luke.
Yeah, right.
And one line that I thought was hilarious too with Van and Ty was when Ty asked her, like, are you like even dating? Are you even trying? And Van's like, I'm getting my needs met. And Ty just immediately responds, ew, gross.
Yeah.
It's so funny. He's talking about Tinder and everything. I just love that interaction. That was so funny.
That is true, though, because Ty was specifically like, I'm concerned that you're not even seeking out the pursuit of happiness. Like, you're not even trying. And that would be like a textbook mentality of someone who's processing their own death.
Mm-hmm. Well, she says, death. I'm scared you've given up on love. And Van says, don't flatter yourself. It's not about you. It could just be I'm giving up on love because I'm dying, you know, but all this could just be, you know, she's taking Oxy. She's just in a fantasy land. She literally says, which we've talked about on a previous pod, that she has this video store that's all stuck in the 90s, the 80s. Like, she's living in this fantasy world where all the bad stuff didn't happen. And it's in a world where you can possibly be happy because that's not a world they live in, unfortunately, at this moment. So a lot of good stuff, not many scenes with this, but a lot of really interesting things. I don't know why I'm so obsessed with them. I mean, I feel like I know why I'm so obsessed with them.
That was a really funny line when, in the context of Lottie, Van's like, let's just let the past live in the past. And Ty's like, girl, you're running a VHS like shop for your entire career. Like, you are very much living in the 90s still.
Exactly.
Are we throwing the call that Tyson makes to Jeff into the Sean bucket?
It
probably makes sense in the Sean, because they're going to go to the police station together. So we'll just, because that's the, is that the last thing we have for Tyson?
Let's do the Misty call first, because it's a bunch of granola losers, but the food is great. Was. Awesome.
And the BO factory is surprisingly low.
Yep.
But yeah, Luke, hit it.
No, I just meant like we should now back up if we're done with Tyson Van and start the Donna stuff. And we'll catch up with that with their call.
Because Hefe
had a strong app.
This was
always
the thing
does.
I said it a lot last podcast. Like, I was so worried about how this whole police investigation was going to play out. And I will say that I'm basically as happy as I could be. Like, this was almost the best outcome possible. And I'll just admit it right now. I told Dave when we were watching the episode, I don't think I've ever 180'd on a character as hard in a show
Callie.
In recent memory as I have with Callie. Like, I fucking love Callie now. And I was in the beginning, like, three episodes of this season, like, saying how much I absolutely hated her, thought she was going to be an obstacle. But to me, she's now a highlight. And just add that on to the cherry on top of the whole family, because Jeff and Shauna are just, like, they do it for me every time. So now I'm back into the mindset where fuck yeah, every time. What's their last name?
Litnicki or something?
Anytime
it's something weird like that.
Litnicki. Yeah,
that's insane that that doesn't sound familiar at all. But yes.
Yeah.
Anytime we see the Litnickis, if that's right, we'll check out on that. But it's just, this storyline was really, really good.
We can just go quickly. So Shauna gets the call at the house. Jeff's like, I got your back. And she's like, sorry, not you, Callie. And he's mad. But the it would honestly would have been better if you had sex with him line was all of us for this whole season.
I was screaming out of my chair how great of a line that was.
But that line comes from her fucking mother, which is like, mom of the year. You should have just had sex with this like 20 something year old.
Yeah.
Would have really bailed us out. Jeff actually blames Shauna for dragging Callie into it. And Shauna immediately throws Callie under the bus. It's like, this is a... Callie involved herself in it. Luke, oh my gosh. I do like Callie, but it's like the apple does not fall far from the tree. Like, she is just becoming a mini-me unhinged Shauna. It's like, oh my gosh, can we lie to cops some more? Oh my gosh, I'm ready to go. Put me in, coach.
It's awesome.
Little annoying, but I do love it.
Yeah, I loved this Matt and Callie standoff. Fucking Matt, that smug look on his face this whole time. Talk about bad cop, man.
He's loose, baby.
He is.
No, Matt was trying to play good cop. Kevin was trying to go bad cop on
you
Callie.
You think? I had the opposite.
Oh, the way he, like, introduces himself. Oh, miss, I am Matt Sarcusa or whatever. Shall we begin in the other room?
Such a dick.
And Kevin's just like, I'm ready for you, Callie.
True. Like, I think that's just Kevin's demeanor, though. Kevin doesn't have like a cheery bone in his body, but I could tell that Matt was being a fucking bitch.
Matt pisses me off, man.
The bad cop act, definitely, they knew would work better against Callie than it would Shauna. Like, Kevin probably knew if they tried to bad cop Shauna, she would just give some shit back.
Were you guys surprised at how much Shauna gave in this?
Not surprised, because she's oblivious to what she's supposed to be doing in these situations.
I want to almost attribute it to being by design. Like, I think almost everything that happened was like slightly calculated by Shauna. I think she's that good of a liar. I could be completely wrong and she did just break, but the way it kind of worked out, I think she went in with this sort of light plan and it kind of worked.
I mean, so all she just confirms the affair with him, I guess.
Yeah.
But other than that, nothing much. But I thought the Q's could like see right through her. Like, cause he says, well done after her like overly dramatic like meltdown. He's like, okay.
The biggest question of it all is, okay, you had an affair. Why did your daughter lie to me about it? Like, why? And they could just play it off like, I don't know, this guy's missing. And Callie was questioning about it, so I told her that the affair was with Randy, and that's why we left. They could get out of it. It doesn't equate to murder, but she gave a lot of information. I'm going to tell you right now, she did not follow Misty's direction in saying, I want my lawyer. what was the cake for if she wasn't going to say, I want my lawyer? That's my question.
Luke, you keep saying you're beyond satisfied with how this questioning turned out. Like, what is the output that you're seeing? Because I think Callie relays, oh, they're scared shitless of me. That seems like way overconfident. I think she didn't do a flawless job with Kevin. I don't think any of that questioning would make them be like, well, it's not Shauna.
No, not at all. I don't think the trail's thrown off. I think the Q's whole story arc is going to be... Yeah, I love that.
Thank you for calling him the Q's. I was trying to start it. Yeah, the Q's
is
loose.
His name now.
His whole storyline is going to end with him either dying or winning, and he's not going to win because it's going to be a 5-season show. So with that in mind, I expect it the absolute worst, because if you're taking on like a realistic lens of like, Shauna is booked tomorrow. Like, she's... So that's the only reason I'm saying this was a win, because like, I assumed any form of interview was going to result in her going to jail, because like, realistically, they have so much on her. And the fact that it didn't result in that, I'm taking it as a win. And I thought Callie did her part as best as she could. Like, she says, like, who's the jury going to believe? Like, we had sex. I don't know. I just felt like overall, like it turned out better than I thought it was going to. That's the only thing I'm getting at, because there's no way that Kevin and the Qs are done. Like, they're going to keep going with this, and I'm sure it's going to culminate with, I don't think Jay/Matt makes it out of the season. I think like that's a good like season finale kill kind of thing, because you have to get them off the trail. Otherwise, we're going to be dragging out this FBI investigation over multiple seasons, and that doesn't seem fun.
We'll see who a jury believes, especially when they ask me to describe his weird ass balls.
Yeah.
That was such a good line. Like,
I was about that.
Goofy. I mean, Kevin immediately was like, no. And Callie's like, yeah, bitch. She doubled down. She was like, come at me, bro. And her being so proud when she gets in the car was phenomenal. She's like, I did it. Let's go. Yep. She's having fun. She's having fun, at least.
Lying to cops.
That whole conversation ends because of like the phone call, whatever. She goes, fuck, are we going to jail? Like, she was so happy and then so sad, but it wasn't about that. Because the two things, couple things we missed here in the background that were happening. Another amazing Hefe moment when he is listening to NWA in the parking lot. It's like, fuck the police.
Yeah.
Listening. It's so goddamn good. I hope he had some input into like making these scenes as awesome as they turned out to be, like this and
Cut
My Life.
Yeah, he's a rider for sure.
And when Shauna finally does come out and join him, he gives it to her. He's like, Shauna, you dropped the ball. You gave away way more. And that kind of starts this dialogue of, you know, I got the call from Ty and Van. They're going to Lottie's compound. Like, if you have any sense of self-awareness left, you're going to get out of Dodge and hang low over there. I think this is right coming off the back that he found the pistol that's still in the car that she's been driving around with. And he's like, what if they like search the car? Very valid points. I think this is the first time Jeff is like, you're a liability if we are trying to dodge this case.
Yeah.
And can we talk about how bad of a liar Jeff is? Like, even when he gets that call from Thaisa, he's like, oh yeah, Shauna's in the bathroom. She might be a while. Like, he is just the opposite of her, like in terms of lying. And it's just so fun to see him struggle, because he's a good guy. And it's just, he's just caught up in all this and he's trying to be a good dad. And Shauna's making it impossible for him. But Callie's leaning into the Shauna side. It's just such an interesting dynamic. I never would have thought we were going to get here. Looking back at like early season one with like the, what are they? The Lit Nicky.
Yeah. Poor Jeff.
Are you confident in that, Brian?
No, because it also sounds deceptively like Linsky.
Yeah.
So like, maybe I just formed that last name out of nowhere. If I am right, then I'm right. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
Not even close.
Bad. Well, okay. Shauna's last name is Sadecki,
Sadecki. What are the Lit Nickies? That sounds familiar.
I'm looking up Jeff's name now.
Yeah, because
Jeff Sadecki.
Shauna did have another name. I think they said it.
Shipman.
Okay.
Yeah, Shipman. They call her that all the time. Yeah.
Nicky. No, that is definitely something, man. I know what you're talking.
I think it's
about.
An actor, Jonathan Lip Nicky.
Yeah, it is.
Jonathan. Not an actor I know. Apparently a name I know, though. So
Tom's fault.
Everyone's listening to this being like, why are they saying Lip Nicky?
They don't know either. Come on.
All right. Wait. So I wanted to just quickly say, when Jeff looks at Shauna, is like, you're out of control. And Shauna has a little breakdown being like, I know. And she's like crying in the car. That's what makes me feel like, Luke, it's not all calculated, because she actually was like, fuck. And I just want to go through what she says, because I think it's so hard. She says, I never even wanted to be a mom. I didn't start out a bad person. You have a kid that you don't want to save a marriage that you got into out of guilt and shame, and you can't let yourself love either of them, but you love them despite yourself, and you're just bad at it. Like, fuck. And it's a perfectly done speech with what we see with them as kids, like the baby, and she looks at this baby and is like, I'm sorry, I didn't think I wanted you. I love you, blah, blah, blah. And that was a devastation. And then Jackie dies. And then all of the, like, we don't even know what happens after that. John has just been absolutely through it more than anyone, you know?
I take it back. You're right. That part is all totally not part of the plan. But anything related to Adam, I thought, is what I was kind of hinting at. It's like,
sure.
Yeah.
Sure. We reunite. So Van was not going to go in, right? They're sitting outside. They're idling. She's like, let's just go to Denny's. And then fucking Shauna goes ripping with the van. Who knows how Shauna beat them there. She was driving 120 miles per hour, apparently, to get there. Because Van and Ty, I guess you could have been coming from different
Jersey's
places.
Jersey's closer. Van was in Pittsburgh, so they had to go all the way across Pennsylvania. It tracks.
Yeah, That makes
sense. The show's tight with these plot holes, man. They already thought of it, Lean.
But I love Shauna just ripping by in that ugly maroon
in the
van.
Red minivan, yeah. Which Ty immediately recognizes. Oh, that's the Shipman's car.
And then
I'm sorry,
like,
the Sadecki's car. The Litnicki's car.
All right, let's go. Let's talk about it. My end thing to say is that Lottie is like full villain when she turns around. That girl does not smile. And Van just entranced by her and all of them standing, watching her. And then the pullout, of course, is incredible. Beautiful. So
I think we should all vacation to that like little resort and just like by the
looks
lake.
Looks nice. Yeah.
It's so beautiful. But yeah, I mean, Avengers Assemble, baby. I was fucking hyped. This is what I'm pretty sure the season 2 trailer was like, the main images stolen from that, like, was this scene right here. And it just looks so good. Van's face of just, she was more surprised than any of the other girls, which we'll hopefully we get a little bit more into with these next coming episodes. But fuck, man. And then we get the zoom out of the layout of the.
Yeah,
the compound. Yeah,
yeah, compound, whatever. And it is, of course, the symbol. So I don't know, the symbol, like, is the symbol a good thing? Is the symbol a bad thing? If Lottie is running this wilderness retreat and is using the symbol at her hub, like, I don't know. I don't know. But this was a badass great moment. Can we assume that these are the only people that made it out of 1996? Do you think, like, everyone,
plus Travis?
So like these girls, Travis. So we're assuming Ben Scott's dead, Akilah's dead, random blonde hair girl's dead.
No, I don't know that we can assume, but
I feel like I'm assuming
because it's been so emphasized that we need to bring everyone that was in the wilderness here to this retreat. Mm. If Mari was still alive, we would have gotten scenes of Mari trying to get here. I feel like, you know, if Coach Ben was still alive, I feel like we would have gotten scenes of them trying to get here. Like, I think the wilderness is just trying to reunite the remaining. This is my theory. Obviously, we have no idea if that's true or not. But I just think that how I'm taking it is that this is it. Everyone else is pretty much going to die.
Well, Javi was alive until Shauna killed him.
Facts.
Adam Martin.
Dead. Yeah. But all I will say, Dave, is that you know what they say. Assuming things makes an ass out of you and me. That's what they say about assuming. So just be careful.
I'm assuming,
yeah.
Ty shit the bucket.
But no, just, yeah.
Okay, I also have something. So when Van says, keep your eyes peeled for the black and white Nikes, if you remember that, when they first get to the cult compound, and this refers to the shoes worn by those in the Heaven's Gate cult in 1997, and Kool-Aid powder, which was laced with potassium cyanide and consumed by the members of the People's Temple in 1978. So it's just like that. At first, I thought, I was about to go back into 1996 and being like, who's wearing black and white Nikes? Like, who are they referring to?
Yeah.
But it wasn't. It was just a reference to another cult. But I thought that was interesting.
Family Guy makes fun of that cult.
Really?
Yeah, there's an episode.
And American Dad.
And American Dad, yeah.
Of course.
They'll drink the punch and the Elkins.
Are we ready for MVP Buzzkill?
I think we are.
So who hasn't started in a while?
I think I started last time, I'm pretty sure. So I will go last this time.
Luke, start us off.
I can start. All right. MVP Callie, because this is the turn for me in my head where she's officially a positive character now. I'm riding for Callie, and I think she completes the family really well. And I already talked about how great I thought that investigation scene. And Buzzkill, the Cuse, because fuck that guy, dude. He has the most punchable face like on TV. Like, the way he looked at them when they walked into the police station got my blood boiling, and I just want him to have like a super satisfying, just like gotcha moment. Like,
I want the Forest God to rain its wrath.
Something like that. Yeah. Just like a heavenly, just fucking crush on. Fuck this guy.
Let's get J.E.
All right. I guess I can go second here, I guess. MVP. I have two here. They're two good names. You know what? I'm going to give it to young Shauna. Anybody who gives childbirth and has to go through what she went through, take my MVP. Good job, Shauna. And great acting. Yeah. Buzzkill is going to be young Lottie, because anybody who's doing some crazy blood ritual to the side while Shauna's going through what Shauna went through, take a hike. Go kick some rocks. Do it somewhere else. Do not put any added stress on our girl. Wow, this is like back-to-back MVPs for Shauna, I believe.
Love that.
Okay.
You've changed.
Character growth for me and B-Toms with Callie.
Yeah, good for us, man.
just like now.
All right, bro. My MVP was going to be Young Shauna. So I'm going to give it to someone I've never given it to before, which is Effie. I'm going to give it to him because I think he was very funny in this episode, but also he finally stood up to Shauna in a way that was like real. Like, girl, get your shit together. If you don't get out of town, you are going to bury us. So leave, which I liked. And the fuck the police, which is so fucking funny. So I'm going to give it to Jeff. And then my LVP, which isn't really a real one, but I'm going to give it to Kevin just because I'm like, where's your loyalty, brother? Where's that yellow jacket loyalty? Fucking
on this podcast, we do not call it LVP. We call it buzzkill.
Yeah, sorry. I'm the one who came up with it too. Like, I came up with it and I still fuck it up. But yes, he's a buzz fucking kill. Dave?
All right. We'll start with the MVP. I'm kind of like running on names here. I don't really have a good one. I'll give it to Akilah, even though I had shit on her about touching the mouse and then getting into the whole birthing thing. But I'll give it to Akilah because she stepped into a role that she was not expecting herself to step into.
That's nice.
Kind of did a decent enough job with it, I believe. So I'll give it to Akilah.
Baby didn't survive.
Yeah, but like, I'm not putting that on Akilah.
That's a first for the pod, though, I'll say. Akilah's never gotten it before. So snaps for Akilah.
Nice.
And then biggest buzzkill, Coach, going back to the birthing scene, just bailing on being the adult in the room and having to do what he needed to do. So unfortunately, we'll give it to Coach, even though I do love him.
Fuck yeah. All good ones. Episode 7, I keep saying this, apparently super lit. I don't know that an episode's not going to be super lit. We have 3 more left. 7, 8, 9. Why was 6 afraid of 7? What the fuck? Let's go. Anyway, so any parting shots from you guys before I bring us home?
You just got the parting shot. Why 6 afraid of 7? That's it.
Speaking of 6 and 7, let's go 76.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah, let's go.
Tip off in a second here. So let's go.
All right. Word. So like we said, we just recorded a Yellow Jackets theories episode. So if you are one like us who love to dive into theories, sometimes we don't have enough time on this pod because the episodes are so good to dive into every theory. So me and Jimmy tried to hit all the little wacky theories we see everyone write, whether they have legs or not. We thought it was fun to explore, and it really was. So thanks, everyone, for watching on YouTube and giving all the comments. It was the best reading all of them. So, but of course, we covered season 1. We got season 2. Go back and catch up if you haven't. Right now, we're finishing up. We just posted. Soon, we're going to post our Mandalorian finale. We've been covering season 3. Succession is underway. Final season. It fucking rocks. So go smash the subscribe button. What'd you say?
Silo too now.
Oh yes, that's a new one. Silo on Apple TV. The first 2 episodes, I believe, dropped, and so we will have coverage on that too. I know that has a big book following, so we are excited to get into that. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm gonna dive in probably tonight. But yes, go hit subscribe. That's the best way you can, you know, celebrate the pod with us. Talk to us on Instagram, on YouTube, on Twitter at BingeTownTV, at BingeTownTV, not at BingeTownTV.com is our brand new website that Jimmy created recently, and it's fucking awesome. And you can see like all 360 episodes we have. We're just absolutely grinding out here. Also, we did a Barry episode, episodes 1 through 4 of the final season. So that's fun. We'll be back for the finale of that as well. So, you know, we're just doing what we do. Watch a TV, record a podcast. We're having fun. But we are BingeTown TV. And thanks for listening.
Buzz, buzz, buzz. Ooh.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network. You're listening to the Geekscape Network.